Hey there, great to be with you as always. Joining me now on the hotline is a lady by the name of Sandra Sneed, S-N-E-E-D. She is a science and technology industry writer, and she's got a little something that she wants to tell you. She had a relationship, and still does, with a higher power, the higher power, the creator of the universe. In a book called What to Do When You're Dead, a former atheist interviews the source of infinite being. Okay, let's start with that former atheist part. And you're very open about that, Sandra. Tell me about that. How long were you an atheist? As long as you can remember?
Yeah, I think I was conscious of being an atheist sometime after college, up till the age of 39. But if I really looked back on any form of belief system, I certainly had none, even younger.
Is it because of the work you did, too, that, I mean, you were in the sciences? Was that something that added to your sense that there wasn't necessarily that higher power?
No, actually, I became a science and technology industry writer after my moment of what some would call a conversion. The conversion itself actually made me want to dig deeper into the natural forces and systems and creatures.
So there is a link, and a lot of people have that in their own head anyway, that when we study science and nature and we still have a sense of an intelligent designer through the whole thing, that you can live very comfortably with that.
Yeah, I think what people may be uncomfortable with who are science lovers and, you know, where they, that sense of awe comes from the Hubble telescope and the electron microscope and the things that we can observe between those extremes of observation. I think what annoys atheists is the idea of quote-unquote designer, because we can only imagine designer coming from a fully formed, intelligent being that looks like a human. So it's difficult for us to imagine consciousness being within cells and cells having a motivating, a will. You know, science does not study will and the will of being, nor do they look at evolution as a being in itself. So it's difficult for them to see these magnificent expressions in nature as being from a source of creation and creating.
Right. And yet, if you talk to certain scientists about, well, this is the old standby, the development of the human eye, they will tell you that it's magnificent in the fact that so much of it has to be linked and connected and designed, in a sense, for it to work efficiently. And leaving it up to chance, well, that's something that can be debated. But I do love the approach that science and spirituality can be linked. Now, Sandra Sneed, you had a situation in your life that is familiar to a lot of people. You had a real downward spiral there for a while. And before we get to the point where you develop this connection with God, what we'll call God, how was life working for you?
Well, I was always a very ambitious person, wanting so much out of my own life. Everything that I acquired had to be self-acquired. Since there was no belief in a higher power, it was my small little power that I had buried all of my beliefs capability in. So when all that I had acquired at the age of 39 upended, I lost a job I loved and a man that I was in love with that I wanted to marry me left me instead, I suddenly found myself in a wondering, you know, well then what am I if I'm not these things that I've identified myself with?
Right. And then something happens to you, and through your putting pen to paper, you want to explain that first moment when all of a sudden you realized some answer was coming to you from a different source?
Yeah. Well, I had filled up a full notebook of just my own emotional content and, you know, just wanting to get it out, try to quell the loneliness that was erupting in me. And I opened up a brand new notebook and put the, it was actually a pencil, on the paper about to write. And I didn't notice that my pencil had moved until it stopped. And when I looked down, I saw unemployed, question mark. It is my assertion, you are employed by me. And that was the moment that the rabbit hole kind of slowly opened, and I dug down to see how deep does this go.
And it's still going, right? Still continues.
Yeah.
The book is called What to Do When You're Dead. We're talking with Sandra Snead. The subtitle explains more of it. A former atheist interviews the source of infinite being. You mentioned Neil Donald Walsh, who's I'm a huge fan. I've talked with him several times over the years. His conversations with God have become huge international bestsellers. I'm sure your book's going to do very, very well. And in a sense, you guys are kindred spirits because you're both achieving this connection through the writing, through the physical act of writing. Isn't that right?
Yeah, and I have coined the phrase God scribe, because what I've been able to accomplish and what Neil has accomplished in this day and age has been accomplished all throughout history, from Moses to Mary Baker Eddy, the founder of the Christian Science Church, you know, and all over the world in cultures that have long passed. And we have remnants of what they've scribed from this great being in our mythology and in our myths and some in our religions that have kind of carried forward and lost a lot of the symbols and the meaning of the symbols in, mm-hmm. you know, in scripture, for instance, from the original God scribes.
You actually talk about almost everything that's happening today in our world, including tornadoes at one point. And why wouldn't you want to ask God Almighty about these horrible events? And yet, I always think about this, if nobody lived there, it wouldn't be any impact at all. It would just be a tornado that just touches down and roughs up a little bit of grass and trees, but if people live there, hence the damage and the death. But you do talk about a lot of things in this project, don't you?
Yeah. And you know, at the end of it, I originally titled it The Year I Fell to Earth, because I only had the first chapter done when I went to kind of sell, knock on doors of to write the book in the book proposal. Because the first title, the first chapter is really all about me and why I was born. It's all new information, even though I had had these conversations for 7 years with God. God gives me completely new information about me and even why my family structure fell apart at the age of 2, that it was all part of the plan. The later chapters, however, are much more about the greater world, what's going on currently, why man is on a path of self-destruction, and why that's important to God. And so the title, I was talking to a fellow author, I said, you know, people are going to want to know what to do when they're dead. And he said, that would make a great book title. So I said, yeah, you're right, it would. And so it is. Yeah. But it is about, you know, this the concept that there is no such thing as death. So what happens to your body as it passes, goes back to the earth, what's left over is remnants of our own thoughts. And so you got to get your thoughts right so that this soul that gets left over goes to spirit and goes on to its next phase of ascension, or it could get trapped on earth, because if you think that this body is all there is, that impression becomes an apparition, and that apparition gets attached to the past of the individual whose body has gone back to the earth.
Well, one of the things that your conversation with the infinite being, the source of infinite being, has to do with why people get sick and have rough physical lives. And one of the reasons, and I think this makes a lot of sense, I'm saying this as if I doubt God, but I mean, think one of is that we, our thoughts definitely cloud not only our way of thinking, but also our ability to heal and create a healthy environment in our own body, something like that. I'm paraphrasing.
Yes,
but
a healthy environment for ourselves to function.
Yeah. In these conversations that are private with you and what we'll call the higher power at this point, do they always occur in the same format? In other words, with you needing to physically be writing, or have they grown in depth and perhaps in variety of approach?
Yes, they have grown, and I don't any longer need to write it down. I simply allow my oral transliteration to take over. It's like, you remember those little radios that had flowers connected to them, and you turn on the radio and the vibration from that radio wave caused the flower to move back and forth. Do you remember those little...
I'm old enough, thank you very much, to remember.
But that is what goes on in my physicality when God is communicating. It's just this giant wave of being that can either make my hand move or my mouth move to speak. My whole body feels the resonance of those waves. So that's how God communicates as a formless being through this form.
Sandra, let me ask you, this might be tough to single out one thing, but of all the conversations, many of which are brought to us in the book, What to Do When You're Dead by Sandra Snead, has there been one instance of conversation that sort of provided you an opportunity to do the double take? I mean, is this coming out of God? I can't believe God would say such a thing, or believe or think or want us to believe such a thing. What anything that shocked you?
Oh, yeah. Boy, that's a good question, because that forces me to talk about Chapter 4. Chapter 4 is about these beings that dwell in Middle Earth. And these beings are the ones that we have seen hovering in our atmosphere. They are, I guess, working up the opportunity to tell human beings that we're wiping out the Earth's systems that are necessary for sustaining human life. And that's the part that not only shocked me, but it also is very frightening for me to bring to the public. I'd much rather kind of hide behind all the other information and let the world kind of discover Chapter 4 themselves.
Are these the beings you're referring to, are these oftentimes what lay people might refer to as extraterrestrial type beings?
Yes. Yes. So it's really hard for me to come out and say, yes, you are seeing these they aren't extraterrestrials. They actually are intraterrestrials. They dwell within Middle Earth, and many of them do. There is interplanetary communication and travel as well, but most of these beings dwell within the core of creation, which is in Middle Earth.
And let's talk a little bit about organized, if you will, religion, and the fact that so many people listening, there are so many choices and so many places to worship, and then many people decide not to do any of it and go their own spiritual track. I'd like to know, if you could summarize this part of it, what does the God that you're connecting with, let's call it the God, what does that God say about where you preach and practice and pray?
Well, I'll go to what Jesus actually talks about, or Yeshua from Nazareth. He said, the church is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. And that's what the God I talk to says as well, that there isn't anything outside of you that's going to get you closer to God. That is all internal. And you can go to church, and the pastor and the congregation will remind you of the nature of God that is within you, but it is not being given unto you from them. That's all your own doing, your own search, and your own connection to your heart that will lead you to God.
Sandra, what is your website before we sign off here?
It is sondrasneed.com. That's sondrasneed.com. And if you go there and you get the little free download tab and put your address and, I'm sorry, your email and your name in there, I will send you the 5 principles for quieting your mind and listening to your higher self as a free download.
Well, one thing's for sure. This experience has changed your life for the better, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I have something to hold on to. I'm far more centered. I don't expect my husband or anyone in my life to fill the empty holes that can be caused by trauma in one's life. Instead, it all comes from the great being that I call to and who responds to
me. Well, it's certainly the kind of reading that will comfort and also amuse at times, and also provide some solace for many people. No matter where you get the solace, there is solace out there. And I know that people like Sandra and Neil Donald Walsh have proven that you can be, well, they're ultimately very sincere people, but proven that there is a connection that can be made at any level, and you don't have to necessarily be a scholar of the Bible. Thank you, Sandra. It was lovely meeting you.
Likewise. Thank you so much for reading the book, and I really appreciate that and appreciate the opportunity to talk to people about it through you.
Sandra Sneed, and the book we were just talking about is hers. It's called What to Do When You're Dead. A former atheist interviews the source of infinite being, and we will return in just a moment.